Hey guys, we're the Hard Time Strong Men podcast, training up a bear class of man. And today, I want to have a little bit of fun. This is me being selfish. This is me time. We are talking about sniper teams, specifically the three main information records that they keep. Being a sniper isn't just being on the trigger. The secondary mission of the sniper team is the collection and reporting of information. To accomplish this, the sniper team not only needs to be keen observers, but also must accurately relay the information as observed. To record this information, the team uses the sniper data book, which contains a rage card, a military sketch, sector sketch, and an observation log. That was pulled from FM23-10, the sniper training field manual.
I mean, one could actually argue that the primary mission of the sniper team is to collect and report information.
How they've been, how we typically employ them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm reading Fry the Brain.
Right.
So, urban sniping. And There is so much more that goes into just the trigger pulling. And that's what he talks about is, like, especially the Western, countries, we have such a narrow view of like what a sniper should look like a dude with a high powered scope from a mile away in a ghillie suit in rural, wherever, shooting one bad guy and then getting out. Like, being a sniper is so much more than that.
Right.
And I don't even know how that got propagated, but it's kind of funny that we just pigeonholed that whole profession.
It's just because it's about the glory, it's about the kill. That's the thing that everybody wants to do. It's very much the jarhead mentality of, you've trained all this time to do this one trigger pull. So we're going to do this trigger pull. And when you don't get to do the trigger pull, you go nuts like he did.
Get blue balled. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Everybody wants to be like the Carlos Hathcott, the Simo, who's it? Simo.
Oh, Simo God. Haya, yeah,
God, what was his name?
Yeah, the Finnish guy, right?
Without a freaking skill, Iron Sights. The monster, yeah, White Death. Because he felt like it gave him too much of a silhouette. He was up off the rifle too much. What a monster.
I mean, how many sniper movies have there been? I mean, there's Sniper 1, Sniper 2, Sniper 3. I'm pretty sure there's a fourth or fifth one. There was The Wall. There was
the recent one? You know what I'm talking about.
Are you talking about the Chris Kyle one?
Yeah. What was that one? I forgot what it was called.
American Sniper.
There was Enemy at the Gates.
Enemy at the Gates. That was a great one.
Oh, it's a great movie. Gah.
Gets me jacked every time I see it.
Dude, it was so stressful. So stressful.
There was
a lot of Hurt Locker. Sniper movies, and a lot of them don't go into the That was good. That was a really good scene.
It was actually terrible. It was a garbage freaking movie.
Wait, what were you say?
The Hurt Locker.
Okay, yeah, absolutely nothing about it was accurate, but I enjoyed it. It was fun.
It was fun if you could look past like the 90% inconsistencies, or
that's generous, 98.
Yeah,
98%. Everything's no.
Yeah,
does not happen.
Doesn't ever happen. Yeah. Anyways, he's not going to pick up a freaking Barrett 50 cal and start shooting at people. No, they're not. Ever.
He's not going to rip off their freaking bomb suits and just throw the radio off and everything else. Like, no. You don't get that kind of autonomy. Sorry.
Anyway, yes.
So, not all trigger pulls. The meat of what a sniper does, their profession, is information and being able to relay that information to someone who's not there. So to do that, like I said in the opening quotation, there are three tools, the range card, the sector sketch, and the observation log. So digging into it, the range card.
So range cards represent the target area drawn as seen from above, with annotations indicating target locations and their distances throughout the target area. They can be prepared on literally any paper that the team has available. These range cards will provide the team with quick range references within their target area by written annotations and pre-printed range rings. Obviously, the team position and distances will be prominent objects, and terrain features are also drawn on the card. There is not a set maximum range on the range card, because the team may also label any indirect fire target on their range card.
So, doctrinally, what's included on a range card is your name, rank, ID number, and unit. Your method of obtaining range, whether that was, you know, doing the Mill relation formula, a range finder, or what have you. Your left and right limits of your engageable area, major terrain features, roads and structures, ranges, elevation, and windage needed at various distances, distances throughout the area, temperature and wind. You're going to cross out previous entries depending on the change in temperature, wind direction, wind velocity. You won't typically see this on a range card because that changes quite often. And then, of course, your TRPs, your target reference points, and the azimuth distance and description to and of those.
Ideally, this is for you, but at the same time, this is for someone else. So you're not going to be on the scope forever and ever and ever. Your eye is going to get tired. Someone's going to have to relieve you. And when they do, either they would have to make out an entirely new range card, or they can just pick up the one that you just did and have everything available to them.
Right. And this is really great because this isn't just for snipers or observation teams, recon teams. This is used by gun teams. This is used by, you know, normal Joe setting into a position. This is really awesome. And you tend to get really good at this when you're in a solid team, because once you set in your emplacement, you get your left and rights, then someone can be automatically making a range card. And this is great because it is very, very quick to make. They can be very rudimentary. But this gives you just a layup. You don't have to, you know, memorize everything. Oh crap, how far away to that blue car? How far away to that brick building? You know, you're annotating the important stuff. And like you said, if you ever have to, or not if, whenever you have to, you know, get off the trigger, whenever you have to switch out with somebody, if that's your buddy or a completely different team, you have all that information there already.
Right.
And, you know, if you have a solid network, a solid team, you know, series of teams where you're interlocking sectors of fire, then whoever is, you know, in your headquarters, whoever is, you know, higher up on the chain than you gets a really full picture, because someone else can be going down, copying whoever you're putting down, and you get a really, you know, solid snapshot of the area you're operating in. But something that I will say wasn't on, or wasn't in the FM, when you are writing this, this is from, you know, this is drawn as seen from above, but this is your point of view. So if you have something that's occluding your vision, something that's blocking your vision, make sure to draw in that dead space behind it. Because you cannot see, if you have a tree right in front of you, you can't see anything behind that tree or behind a building, in between buildings. So not only just for, you know, if you're referencing it, but for somebody else, make sure that they know where those dead spaces are is really important.
Yep. And another form of detailed view, like, so your range card is from above. Now you have your sector sketch. So this is a detailed on the ground view of an area or an object that is otherwise unobtainable. Sector sketches are used to record information about a general area, terrain features, or man-made structures that are not shown on a map. Because that actually happens quite often. unless you're using
happens something a like lot
Hal Topo or something that's been up to date. These sketches not only let the viewer see the area in different perspectives, but also provide detail like type of fences, building material, of structures, present depth of streams. The list goes on and on and on.
Because the whatever leadership you have, where area you sit in, they're probably going to be going off of, like map recon. We know the general idea of what's going on in here. Military sketch, a sector sketch, is your point of view. What you can see. So difference between, range card and sector sketch, like you said, the range card is more kind of cartoony. I would say more animation than, going for realism. That is what the sector sketch is for. What you can see at your position. And that's absolutely, absolutely important for whoever is looking at this after you. But, like you said, depth of stream, what way the stream is flowing, for one. There's just a lot of things that give a bigger picture because, say if you're sitting in a position and, you have, if someone calls out, whoever, a target in a brick building, and you're the only dude sitting that's looking at a brick building, that's pretty important for, your leadership to know at the, at those split decision times. But there are two types of sector sketches, panoramic and topographic. So panoramic sketch is a graphical representation of an area or object drawn to scale as seen from the team's perspective. So shows details about a specific area or man-made structure. Information that you'll typically see is your name, rank, ID number, unit, two remarks sections, your sketch name, grid coordinates of the team's position, current weather, magnetic azimuth through the center of the sketch, sketch number and scale of the sketch, and date and time. Topographic sector sketch is a topographical representation of the area drawn to scale as seen from above. It provides the team with a method describing large areas while showing reliable distance and azimuths between major terrain features, or just major features in general. The topographic sketch is useful in describing road systems, flow of streams and rivers, locations of natural and man-made obstacles. It can also be used as an overlay on a range card, which is a really great use case for that.
Yes, it is. And now a word from our sponsors. This podcast is sponsored by Blackbeard Firestarter. Blackbeard Firestarter has been our first choice in Firestarters since they introduced their Firestarter rope years ago.
Blackbeard offers their Firestarters, their fire plugs, arc lighters, ferro rods, stormproof matches, everything you need to get a fire started.
Their products are made right here in the U.S., wind and waterproof, have an insane burn time, they're basically dummy proof.
And help you out, Blackbeard let us cherry pick from their store everything that we want, everything that we thought you needed to get a fire started, and we call it our Hard Time Strong Men Fire Kit. On top of that, they're also offering a 15% discount on anything in their store when you enter code STRONGMEN at checkout.
We can't recommend Blackbeard enough. They stand behind their products, and so do we.
Be sure to check them out at blackbeardfire.com and on Instagram at blackbeardfire. And as always, stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.
Information contained in the field sketch will be your grid coordinates and the team's position, name, rank, ID number, unit, remarks, sketch name, grid coordinates of the area, weather, magnetic azimuth, sketch number and scale, date and time.
All the good stuff.
All the things.
Yeah. So when you're drawing your sector sketches, you want to make sure that you are working from the whole to the part. So you're going from the macro view to the micro. You're going to start with drawing the boundaries of your sketch, then sketch the larger objects like your hills, your mountains, your large buildings. And after you're drawing those larger objects, start drawing the smaller details on those objects or in the area. Make sure you use common shapes to show common objects. So don't draw individual trees, hedges, wood lines, exactly as they're shown. Use common shapes so that you can just show them as common objects, you know, unless it's of tactical importance or for key terrain. I don't sweat the small stuff. Don't focus on the fine details. You know, make like, you know, a freaking upside down.
Put a triangle on a stick for a tree.
Yeah.
Well, what we talked about in our range estimation, this is what I'm talking about with basic, basic literacy, basic penmanship, basic just artistic talent. You're trying to give off the gist. You know, someone, if they look at your sketch, they should be able to figure out what you're talking about. So, like way, way early podcasts, we had a post on bounding, and I had a green pen and I made a bunch of little circles, squiggly marks, and you knew I was talking about foliage, a woodline, a bush, you know, something that was considered concealment. It does not have to be all that complicated.
Exactly. Like I said, don't sweat the small stuff. Just get the point across, kind of thing, you know. Lastly, draw in perspective and use your vanishing points. So when we say to do this, we're trying, when we say to draw in perspective, we mean this is your perspective. Like, this is what you can see. If you can't see something, shade it in. You know, don't draw it.
Or grow smaller and disappear. You can only see so far into the horizon. So if you are, you know, in, you know, godforsaken Nevada in the desert, and you're just looking at a road that goes on forever, it doesn't just stay at the same width out to the horizon. It appears to get smaller and smaller and smaller and thinner and thinner and thinner into nothing. That's what we're talking about with vanishing points. We're talking about using depth. You're trying to project depth into your sketch, right? Mm-hmm. So anything you can see on the ground will vanish at some point on the horizon, whether that's to the left, to the right, up, down, wherever. Sketches are to show what you can see. Draw what you can see to the best of your ability. And the observation log. So the sniper data book is a written chronological record of all activities and events that take place in a sniper team's area. It's used with the sector sketches and range cards. This combination not only gives intelligence on the appearance of the area, but also provides an accurate record of the activity in a given area. So what you include in an observation log would be your sheet number, total number of sheets, the observer's name, rank, ID number, unit, date and time of the observation, visibility, grid coordinates of the sniper team's position, series number, time, and grid coordinates of each event, the event that takes place, and action taken and remarks. This is pretty self-explanatory. This is, hey, this happened at this time, at this place. And you do that in series until your mission is complete.
If you've been in the military and you've had to sit on CQ, you know exactly what you're doing.
That's a great example. Yeah.
Logbook. Everything that happens, like literally everything, you write it down.
This doesn't really matter how innocuous. I was going to say, this is lovingly known as CYA, or cover your
ass. Correct. And honestly, it's not even so much as a cover your moment. This is a, you never know what actually might be valuable information. So just literally report everything.
Hindsight is 2020, unless if you don't write it down. If you didn't write it down, it didn't happen.
You were correct.
Tell you what, nursing, that is beaten into you, being like a dead horse. If you didn't report, if you did not annotate this, if you did not write this down, if you didn't make a note, it didn't happen.
Yep. I mean, sorry. Same thing, honestly.
Show me the receipts.
Exactly.
Show me the receipts.
Exactly. Exactly. Same thing in real estate, man. Like, you can make all the verbal offers, you can make all the verbal agreements you want, but if it is not in writing, it didn't happen.
And here's an application for more, you know, like soldiery type stuff. So, say you have several teams, say you have your good old, you know, three sniper teams in a given area, right? You're going after, you know, you're given whatever target package and you're being a good little, you know, shooter and you write down everything in your logbook. After the fact, someone can go through your logbook and say, okay, this dude in, I don't know, a black hat went into this building. Next team over. Okay, he came out this side. Okay, they went to this. And you can backtrace and you can find patterns. And
yep, patterns of life.
Mm-hmm. And you can say from an intelligence perspective, the monkeys on the trigger don't always know what's going on or what they're looking for. But accurately and, you know, religiously putting all this stuff down, that's freaking money as far as intelligence goes.
Yes.
And if you're worried about it, after the mission's over, you're probably going to burn it all anyways. So, yeah, whatever. All right, brother. I intended this to be a short and sweet episode. We are obviously going to, you know, throw in the downloads for, you know, all of these records onto the Patreon so everyone else can grab them up and start practicing. But did you have anything else as far as these information reports go?
Honestly, no. These information reports, we can only describe so much verbally. Get your hands on some examples. Do your own. You know, just practice. Like, once you do one or two, the stuff that we're saying is going to make sense. You know, we can say this stuff to our blue in the face, and you know, if you've never done one of these, if you don't know what we're looking at, it won't make sense. So these are incredibly valuable tools for not just the monkey on the trigger, like you said, but also the intelligence weenies back at HQ. Like, this stuff is so valuable. All the information getting passed is valuable, whether you believe it or not. Like, it could just be an old guy riding a bike down the street, but you don't know. That could be a smuggler, facilitator. I mean, that could even be the head of a local IED group. You don't know. Just report it and let the intelligence folks make sense of it. That's their job.
Right. Right. And, you know, for the guys that are, sorry, brother. Yeah. Intelligence saves lives. Absolutely. Intelligence is life. You know, it is one of the single most valuable commodities, you know, sources of currency that we have.
Okay. Right? Yes.
Especially if you're talking about starting off your own network, you know, doing your own. Man, I don't even know how to quantify this. I mean, your own era studies, like setting up your own teams, your own networks, everything. Like, this is absolutely, you know, vital. And there are such easy tools to utilize. You know, quick, simple, to the point. And that's the best way that we can, you know, source and consume that kind of information. So,
yeah. And for these reports too, obviously we're giving you the doctrinal, you know, information that's supposed to be included in these, but I mean, good Lord, you're not going to put your name.
Don't put your social security number on this card, please.
Your unit on this, like, literally, no. Like, if you have a call sign, if you have, you know, a designation of some kind that you can use, or don't put anything.
I won't even put that. Put it, if you are absolutely just hung up on the secret scroll stuff, put down a verification number, set up an SOP, so that people know it's you. Don't put anything that is personally identifying. That's just silly. But
that's just dumb.
You know, obviously date and time, you know, grid numbers, all the pertinent stuff, of course. But
right.
Yeah. Like you said, we're throwing down things that are doctrinally there. FM 2310. You know, that's what we're talking about. So, but you have autonomy and common sense. Use it.
Hopefully common sense. Common sense ain't so common.
Taps plays in the background. Guys, we are the Hard Time Charmin podcast, cheering up a bear class of man. Stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight. check out our Discord, where we talk about all of the topics that we talk about in our conversations, but in deep dive format. We have a lot of members on there of varying skill sets, of varying proficiencies, all talking about all these topics, sharing their experiences. So join today and help us expand our knowledge base.
And check out our Patreon. Our Patreon, outside of just backing up all of our episodes for when we eventually get canceled, our patrons get access to our exclusive episodes, our pre-shows, our post-shows, our little tidbits here and there that we aren't really supposed to talk about. We're also opening up all of these exclusive episodes for people to individually purchase. So you don't have to get tied into a tier in order to get all that content. You can dip your toes in a little bit, decide you like it, then come and join us on that. We're having exclusive conversations, and along with the Discord, we are just building that community, building that skill set, that mastery, these proficiencies. And this, outside of our sponsor, is what's keeping the lights on and keeping all of this information, all these classes rolling for you guys. So make sure to check out our Patreon. And one last thing, guys, the world is better with you in it. If you're feeling suicidal or if you're in crisis, dial 988 or reach out at 988lifeline.org to get help. Someone's always on the line. So if you need a lifeline, remember 988. Stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.